Greetings to you all. Hope you're all having a good day. The weather is tremendous. As you all know, I'm a big fan of this time of year. it's good because it's an opportunity for me to not be as grumpy and be outside working. And this time of year, we really try to capitalize on that. But that's kind of the topic of what leads into the message I was going to give today. Yesterday, we were working at our house, moving on. We had to move a dog kennel out from under a tree that I was going to be cutting down. And we have big dogs. We have a big kennel. And so it's a two-person job. Josie and I were working on it, and our little boy Opie, he's 2.5 years old, and he wants to be in the middle and helping with everything. Well, he wanted to be in the middle and helping with his bicycle as well. So we're in this 12 by 12 kennel, and we're just going to pick it up and scoot it, and the idea is he can move along with us. This did not work as planned. So he was just, not coordinating well with when it's time to move, we move. So he just sits there until we run into him, and then we've... Anyway, his dad got a little cranky, and there was no confusion. I was very frustrated, and I was very frustrated at him, and by the time the episode was over, he was outside the kennel, and we were back on the path to where the kennel needed to be. Needless to say, not one of my proudest moments as a father. And when I was young, and probably with you all, it was similar. There's a saying that you would probably say with some sass that goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Now, you know, I know, we all know, in reality, words can hurt. Words can hurt and leave more debilitating wounds than sticks and stones. Whether the words target a child or a spouse or a friend, the effects of cruel words or even an outburst, even if the words aren't so much cruel, even just the tone, can be devastating. So let's ask ourselves, how important is it to God that we choose and use our words positively? I did a quick search for Bible passages on the subject and was almost immediately overwhelmed, not only by how many of these verses there are, but how familiar I am with pretty much all of them. We'll run through a few really quick. Like I said, we don't have to turn to any of these. They're basically memory scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is in good, which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Proverbs 15, verse 23 says, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 12 and verse 25 says that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. We are told about the godly woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Proverbs 15 and verse 4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perverse tongue crushes the spirit. And the list literally... we could be here all afternoon reading scriptures that are similar and we're all familiar with. It's easy to kind of dismiss, yeah, I've been there, I've read that and I got it down. Or even I'm working on it. The context of these verses is that we are known as by our fruits. What are our fruits? Well, they are our words in these circumstances. Do our words soothe and heal? Are they gentle, even when offering correction? Or do our words, in tone or in meaning, sometimes act like a weapon, a stick, or a stone? How can we make sure you and I that the fruits of our words are good ones, a tree of life to our children, our spouse, and others. Here's a collection of principles that I thought may be helpful. These all come from the Bible, and they can help us guide our words. The first one, emotions are bad drivers. Some of the most hurtful words uttered are those driven by anger or frustration. And everyone is occasionally tested when it comes time to controlling our emotions. When anger or frustration flares, it may be hard to do, but excusing ourselves, walking away, and cooling down helps us gain control. In Proverbs 15 and verse 18, it says that an angry man stirs up strife. Colossians 3 and verse 8 gives us a list of things to remove from our mouth. Anger is first on the list, wrath is second. Blasphemy and filthy language round out the list. Our society seems to think that these things are acceptable. We see them all the time around us. But God says that they are not because of how they damage people. The next point is don't react until you know the whole story. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 says that if a person answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame to him. It is a wise person who takes time to understand the whole situation and not jump in with a response before observing what is going on. The next point is remember the value of truth spoken in love. God values truth so much that he dedicated one of his Ten Commandments to being truthful. In the list of things that God hates in Proverbs 6 and verse 16 through 19, two of those have to do with lying, even when it is uncomfortable. God expects us to tell the truth. Telling the truth can sometimes, often, be a difficult task, especially when we feel it will hurt someone's feelings. It's easy sometimes to justify, for our sake and others, telling half-truths or untruths. This is where we add in the principle found in Ephesians 4 and verse 15 that we must tell the truth, but we must do so in love. Even if you have to tell somebody something that hurts their feelings, with empathy, with tact, and some forethought, you can probably find a loving way where you can end the conversation with that person knowing you said these things for their own good, that you care for them, and that you are looking out for them. The next point, use our words to build up versus tearing down. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 instructs us not to let corrupt words come out of our mouths, but instead, what is good for edification or building up. Proverbs 12 and verse 18 tells us that the tongue of the wise promotes health. And in case we're tempted to dismiss this as if it is some minor thing in God's eyes, you can turn to Matthew 12 and verse 36 through 37. That scripture goes, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." The Bible says a lot about encouragement. We even find one of the apostles of the New Testament nicknamed Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. Emphasis is everywhere. There's a Christian author named Gary Smalley. He's quoted as saying, affirming words from moms and dads are like light switches. Speak a word of affirmation at the right moment in a child's life, and it's like lighting up a whole room full of possibilities. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines encourage as to inspire with courage, hope, or spirit. Encouragement is positive and uplifting. Encouragement finds the good in a situation and helps someone move forward. This same principle applies in the lives of our spouses, friends and coworkers, and it is in stark contrast, I sadly say, to how I handled the situation with Opie, which is, you know, something we all try to strive to get better at, because those are the regrets that are no fun. Knowing when it's time to be quiet is the next point. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. That's from Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7. Several circumstances come to mind where silence is the best approach. One is when simply our presence provides more comfort than our words possibly could. This is often the case after a tragedy. There may also be times when our silence could cause less harm than our words. And finally, sometimes one may have to simply walk away from a situation and let emotions cool down, or because you make the realization, and this happens more often than you think, that no good will come in continuing the conversation. In conclusion, words are an integral part of our lives. They connect humans in what can be wonderful ways. It's with words that we share ideas, emotions, knowledge, humor, and many other things. So many positive moments, positive benefits come from using our words properly. But when we use them improperly, they tear down, they damage, and they destroy. Solomon says in Proverbs 25 and verse 11, that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Our words have the potential to be a tremendous blessing to those who hear them, but achieving that potential is far from easy. In fact, I think that the fact that the Bible is littered with instructive passages on the subject is a testament not only to the importance of the task, but the difficulty of achieving it. As I prepared this message, I was humbled and encouraged to do better, certainly better than I did yesterday with Opie, but everyone else that I interact with. And I hope that it did the same for you.